Welcome to Scary Savannah and Beyond. And this is going to be episode number 88, a nice round number. And also,
that was a good year.
A very good year. Why was it a good year?
I just like 1988.
You just like numbers.
It was like the epitome of the 80s, I think.
Well,
Do you remember the 80s?
Yeah, I do. I remember wearing jams.
Yeah.
I remember going to Disney World. I think it was 1987 when I went to Disney World, though, but it was in the 80s.
Yeah.
That was back when Michael Jackson was still a thing, and he had this ride at Epcot Center.
Oh, really?
He did. It was 3D. Oh. And I remember Witch came out of the movie theater screen and scared me as a child. And to this day, I still can't go to 3D movies that have witches in them.
So you're still traumatized?
Pretty much.
So the 80s weren't so great for you.
It's really the bane of my existence. And I wish you'd never brought it up.
We'll get to the 90s soon.
Oh, well, I certainly hope so. So tell me, how has your week been?
It's been very busy. It's already Friday. I don't know what happened, but I'm finishing another British novel. I only have about 30 minutes left in it. I'm listening on Audible.
What is that, like your 27th book this year or something?
This is actually my fifth British novel, and it'll be the eighth book that I've read this year.
That's insane, considering I haven't even read the instructions that came with that swing that you threw together earlier.
It wouldn't have been easy to read. It was not very, I don't know, what's the word?
Well, it's written in Sanskrit, so that doesn't help.
It was like, insert A into J, but none of them were labeled. And I'm like, okay, this sort of looks like an A piece.
The old A to J gambit. You got to love that old chestnut.
So I'm all about everything British now. I want to visit England, possibly move there.
Wow, that really took a left turn real fast.
We did get to meet a guy the other night from Wales.
He was Welsh, and I assume that means he's from Wales.
I hope so, because I'm not.
We're actually from Ethiopia. How dare you say that?
So his name was Owen.
But it's not spelled like you think it would be.
Yeah, it's spelled O-W-A-I-N.
That's a very Welsh way of spelling things, I think, right?
I guess so.
I would have no idea.
We know his dad, and he's visiting here. He actually still lives over there. So he was visiting his dad, and they showed up at the sandbar, as one is wont to do.
It happens all the time.
So I got to hear him talk, and I got to ask him questions about how you pronounce certain British words. It was fun. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, we were quizzing him. He came. I went over and saw him because she pointed out that guy was there.
I've seen him on Facebook.
And I walked over just to say hello. And when I went there, he was talking to his dad, and then I heard his voice, and I was like, well, you got to come talk to my wife.
Yeah.
It's not often I go grab a guy at a bar and say, come talk to my wife. But
come here, you 20-something-year-old, and come talk to my wife.
In this situation, it made sense, really.
Yeah, it was fun. We always have the best times at the sandbar. Like last week, we were there, and it was just the locals, and they were playing the British version of Wheel of Fortune on the TV.
Exciting.
It was so exciting because I love all things British, and it just got really exciting. You want to talk about that?
I would love to talk about this. See, the first thing
is fun for us. It's so crazy.
You have to picture it.
Yeah.
Picture it. Tybee.
Yeah.
2024.
A bunch of locals.
We're at a bar with old and young, diverse backgrounds, as far as the eye could see. And by as far as the eye could see, I mean, there were about like eight people in the bar, including the bartender. Mm-hmm. And they have a habit of having their television behind the bar being on the Game Show Network channel. And the Game Show Network channel has a really fun way of playing obscure and foreign games, usually around the 1 to 2 a.m. mark, which is about when this was, I think. And they had the knockoff, even though it was actually Wheel of Fortune, but it was the British version. And there was no Pat Sajak to be found.
It was from the 1980s, which is great. It was the 80s. It was British. The guy's name was Peter.
The contestant.
Peter. Yeah.
The contestant's name was Peter. We don't know how he pronounces it because we didn't have any of the TV volume. We were solely stuck on closed captions.
Well, we were calling him the Proper Peter.
The Proper Peter.
The Proper Peter.
And now we stood there and he won four games in a row. We were getting really excited into it, jumping up and down, hooting and hollering.
Everybody was clapping for Peter.
And then one of my friends was sitting there watching it with us and he didn't understand it. He was videoing us and he's like, this guy's going to lose.
Yeah.
And then, lo and behold, he did.
He did. He lost on his fifth game. And we're like, we blamed it on him.
It made me so angry.
Mm-hmm.
And now we greet each other at the bar when we walk in and see each other. We're like, Peter!
We're always like, hi, Proper Peter.
Proper Peter. No one knows what we're talking about, including
us. Only a select few of us know what that means.
But this shows you how easily we're entertained.
We are. And now I just want to find this guy, Peter, and see where he's at these days. I tried looking him up on the internet and I can't find him. So if your name is Peter and you live in England
and you were possibly in the band Depeche Mode.
Possibly. And you were on the Wheel of Fortune in the 1980s. Let us know.
And you want a rice cooker and a pitchfork.
We were rooting for you.
Yeah, a rice cooker and a pitchfork. And nobody won the Ford Festiva.
No, I'm a little disappointed
in that. But yeah.
So this story this week doesn't take place in England, sadly, but it is in Australia, which also has cool accents. So we have a little bit of everything. It's an amusement park, amazing accents, true crime, possible mob ties, ooh, government corruption, the 70s, basically everything but aliens.
Are you sure there are not aliens involved?
I didn't read about any aliens, unfortunately.
So you're saying there's a chance?
There's a chance. So let's set the scene. It's 1979. I'm not born yet.
Well, it sounds like a utopia for some.
Hey, you are an unruly toddler. And on the other side of the world, in the land down under, there's an amusement park called Luna Park. Luna Park is iconic. It sits on the shores of the Sydney Harbour in Milsons Point, New South Wales, and offers the people of Australia the opportunity for a fun night out.
Okay.
Luna Park originally opened in 1935 with its signature entrance, a large, scary face with a wide row of teeth and a crown of what looks like sun rays. It's flanked on either side by columns that mimic the look of the Chrysler Building.
Wow, this is absolutely terrifying.
It is. This is a recent picture of the face that we're going to put on the screen.
Why are they doing this to children?
I don't know. But believe it or not, it used to be even scarier.
That's not possible.
It is. Since opening in 1935, there have been 8 different renditions of this face, each terrifying in their own way.
Okay, so are we going to pop some of those up now?
Yeah, we got one from 1962.
1962, yeah, that looks evil.
1935.
Let me see, 1935. Okay, that says progressively got worse.
So the one from 1935 is more the Art Deco style and was made from chicken wire, plaster, and canvas.
And human skin. Presumably.
This one is from 1973, which I think is the scariest.
Well, what's really scary is that Steven Spielberg?
No, I don't think so. So this is probably what it looked like when our story is going to take place.
Okay. Yeah, set the stage there. That's
so
terrifying.
So despite the scary face with the illuminated eyes and teeth you have to walk through to enter Luna Park, it's really quite beautiful. It's modeled after Coney Island, and it features a large Ferris wheel, as you can see.
Very Ferris-y.
Amazing views of the nearby Sydney Opera House. Right across the harbor there.
That's an iconic piece of architecture, isn't it?
It has swings, as every good amusement park does.
Those look like they're just about to snap off.
They might. The Wild Mouse roller coaster, we've ridden something similar to that.
Oh, no, that's the thing we watched, and roller coasters like that are dangerous.
It is.
They're very dangerous.
It has hairpin turns that make you feel like you're going to fly off into the harbor.
And at times, you might.
You might.
Based on some of these videos I've seen about amusement parks and that type of ride.
The rotor is like the Gravitron that we rode as kids at Myrtle Beach. It's like you stand against the wall and it spins and gravity pins you against the wall. I think everybody's ridden something like that.
I've never been in one of those.
Oh,
when
you
they
haven't.
Had it at Carowinds, I was scared of it.
They didn't have it at Carowinds. Well,
I was
they did. They
I was
think it was the
everything.
Oak and Bucket back then.
Yeah, but it's the same concept.
Yeah.
I was scared of it. I wouldn't ride anything. And my dad took us there trying to get us to ride stuff. But I remember my friends would ride that and they say you could crawl up the wall.
Oh, we
and
did.
Spinning.
Yeah.
I'm sure
you could.
That's against the
oh,
rules.
Oh, yeah. They didn't like you doing that. But what are they going to do if you're in the middle of the ride? They can't stop you.
So you did it?
Oh, yeah.
So you say you intentionally went and flagrantly broke rules.
Maybe.
How in the world did we end up together?
It's funny. It's fun, though, because like you're like laying against the wall and you can slide yourself all the way up to the top.
Crime is fun.
Like 6 feet in the air. And then when it stops, you fall.
Oh,
it was amazing.
Wow. Like I said, we're easily entertained.
I know. I always have been. And of course, they have a carousel. It's like everyone knows that carousel. It's so pretty.
It is pretty,
I love
actually.
A carousel. I always wanted a carousel horse.
I've thought about getting you one before, but
like a real one.
They're kind of expensive.
I don't care.
I just get it.
I'm going to set it right in the middle of my living room.
Yeah, I'll put it by that ridiculous swing you got.
I know. One of the signature rides in this pop art style park when it opened in 1935 was the Big Dipper roller coaster.
That looks a lot like the one we used to ride at Carowinds, except far more dangerous.
Probably, if it's from 1935.
Look at the gate that this is like. We have this... you know, illusion of safety by putting a metal bar on it.
Yeah, that's not safe.
Not at all.
This wooden coaster was 2,600 feet long and could reach speeds of 52 miles per hour.
Pretty fast for the 30s.
It is. The Big Dipper had a few incidents throughout its lifespan, including a woman in the 1930s who fell to her death, and they later ruled that a suicide. I think that was just to not have any liability.
Thing was riding?
Yes.
No, they labeled it that.
They labeled that a suicide.
But that's probably not what happened,
probably not. Probably not.
It doesn't seem like a way someone would choose to end their life.
In 1946, a man was killed when he failed to follow safety instructions and sat on the edge of the train car. He was thrown from the car and into a pole.
Oh, no.
Not a pole, but a support pole.
He might have hit the pole first, then the pole.
Yeah.
Why don't I?
Well, you saw the safety restraints they had. They're made of plastic. On April 16th, 1979, so this is just right before the incident happens that we're going to talk about in a minute.
Yeah.
This is just a couple months early. A steel runner came loose, which caused one of the cars to ram into a stationary one. This resulted in 13 people being injured.
I bet there's all kinds of whiplash off of that one.
Probably.
Yeah.
Throughout the park's history, attempts were made to tear the park down and develop it into businesses, but those plans never were approved, and it remained an amusement park with some closures over the years. It's still open to this day.
Okay. So I'm assuming where it's at, it might be a desirable tract of land.
It is. And it's owned by the government, but they lease it to people.
Ah, so somebody was wanting to get their hands on it.
Mm-hmm. In the early 70s, management replaced many of the rides with new American thrill rides. Hanna-Barbera was big back then. You remember Hanna-Barbera Land at Carowinds?
Yeah, that's where the Scooby-Doo roller coaster was from.
And they had a hand in changing their slogan temporarily from "Just for Fun" to "The Place Where Happiness Is." I think I like "Just for Fun" better. That's
what it is
today.
We're not
going
to tell you. We're just "The Place Where Happiness Is." Now, it done left. Maybe. We don't know.
They also installed a short-lived park mascot. His name was Luna Bear, the space-age koala, which, unfortunately, I couldn't find a picture of.
Mm.
So if any of our listeners in Australia have any old pictures or memorabilia.
That too.
Message us, please. I'd love to see it.
I want to see the crazy koala bear.
I do.
I picture it wearing a helmet.
Space Age was big back when we were kids.
Yeah, and a jetpack.
Yeah.
That's all anyone ever wanted to talk about, you know, when that came along. Yeah. Sputnik.
Besides the Big Dipper roller coaster, another staple attraction since the park's inception in 1935 was the Ghost Train. The Ghost Train was a ride with two-seater cars that traveled through a dark labyrinth, much like a haunted house. I'm sure we've all been on a similar ride. They had one at Myrtle Beach that we used to get on.
Yeah, that burned down, didn't it?
Didn't that one burn down?
Or they tore it down?
They tore it down because they tore down the whole pavilion.
Something happened to that ride. I thought they had a fire at it.
And they may have. I think they did have a fire, but they rebuilt it. It had like a creepy skeleton out front and its fingers.
Head.
Its fingers would do this. You remember that?
I do remember that. Yeah. I think the original one was the big skull. And then when they rebuilt it, it had like that animatronic guy with the top hat that was standing there.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah. So when you entered the ride, there was a looped recording that said, "The creepiest spine-tingling ride of your life. You'll shiver and quake on the Ghost Train." So it was really scary, they say. It was all dark. You didn't know which way you were going.
That's some quality riding there.
It is. On June 9th, 1979, a little after 10 p.m., visitors were enjoying their night amongst the lights and sounds of Luna Park when tragedy struck. Approximately 35 people were on board the Ghost Train cars when smoke began to emit from within the building. Among the riders were five young friends, all 12 and 13 years old. They were Jonathan Billings, Richard Carroll, Michael Johnson, Seamus Raheely, and Jason Holman. The boys were students at Waverly College, which was a nearby high school. Even though it says college, it was high school.
Makes sense.
I know.
Wait, what are you going to do? It's Australia.
This was their first night out without parental supervision. So it's sad.
That is sad.
Mm-hmm. Confusion set in amongst the passengers and the ride operators as smoke began to fill the rooms. They weren't sure if it was part of the attraction at first or what, you know, it could just be...
The first thing you're going to think in those situations is, unless you've maybe been on the ride before, is you're like, this is just part of the event.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not going to jump to thinking, hey, there's something wrong here.
There was little time to react, and the whole ride was quickly engulfed in flames.
Oh, no.
Due to a combination of low water pressure, understaffing in the park, and inadequate coverage of the Ghost Train by the park's fire hose system, the fire completely consumed the ride.
Sounds like a absolute tragic event that was caused by multiple contributing factors that they should have probably addressed.
Yes, we'll find out that they had been warned.
I'm not going to be shocked when you say that.
Unfortunately, all of the boys died except Jason Holman, who was pulled from the car by an attendant just before his car entered the doorway marked Hell's Doorway.
Wow.
His car had not yet entered the building, but his friend's cars had. He says he remains horrified to this day by the image of his friend's empty cars exiting the burning ride on the other side.
How traumatic would that be? I mean, that would just be messed up.
I know. He has like PTSD or something from it.
I would be surprised if he didn't have some sort of issues.
Survivor's guilt.
Yeah, be guilty about it, have the PTSD. Mm-hmm. It's terrible.
Also on the ill-fated ride that night were three members of the Godson family. John, the father, along with his two sons, Craig, age 4, and Damien, age 6, had made the last-minute decision to have one last ride on the ghost train after spending a fun-filled day at the park.
Oh, no.
They had ridden it several times that day. Their mother, Jenny Godson, was quoted as saying, quote, "All of a sudden, I got this thought that I wanted an ice cream. It was just the most bizarre thing. I asked the boys if they wanted an ice cream, and they said no. So off they went with their father, and that was that. I didn't meet them there. They were gone." Oh, end quote.
Wow. Talk about survivor's guilt. Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm.
She just had this overwhelming feeling that she didn't want to get on it.
I wonder why she didn't just pull everyone away. She just didn't want to ruin their fun.
Yeah, I guess she didn't really think anything.
Why would you think it would be a problem?
Yeah.
You know, it wouldn't make any sense.
Sadly, John and his two sons were unable to make it out of the ride before it was consumed by the fire. So what caused this fire? Surprisingly, the true cause has never been pinpointed nearly 45 years later. Mm. One claim was that someone discarded a cigarette. Another attributed the fire to faulty wiring.
Both of those sound like they could be absolutely legit.
And survivors of the ride reported smelling kerosene around the fireplace inside the ride, suggesting arson. There's no doubt the ride was dangerous. According to a fire inspector who reviewed the train in 1977, said of the ride's interior, quote, you want to read the quote?
"It was a maze. It was timber, all painted black. As a matter of fact, even with the light on, I was bumping into the partitions and the wall. It was a timber ceiling. I would have got lost even with the lights on. The only way I could keep going was to follow the railway track."
Yeah, so can you imagine how scary that would be to be in there and it's on fire and you can't see.
You don't know where to go.
You don't know where to go. I just can't imagine.
I can't either.
During the inspection in 1977, park management was advised to install a sprinkler system, but they did not act on the recommendation.
Mm, shocker.
And this is from the actual coroner's report.
Okay. "I shall give my findings in the inquest in the fire inquiry arising out of the Erie
fire."
Fire.
There's some typos in it.
This must be an Australian thing. "Out of the fire at Luna Park on the 9th of June, 1979. The 7 deceased died in the ghost train building when it caught fire on the 9th of June, 1979. The cause of the fire cannot conclusively be stated. It is clear that it commenced in or in the vicinity of a display representing an imitation fire. Expert evidence has been given of examination of what was left of the electrical system and of tests made after the fire. It has been shown that it was most unlikely that the ignition occurred through electrical fault, or the possibility of such a cause cannot be completely excluded. A statement made to police soon after the fire indicated that it had been deliberately started. That statement has been shown to be false and mischievous. Patrons had the habit of discarding food wrappings and other litter during the ride. Such flammable material could lodge in or on the imitation fireplace. Parafloodlights were used in that display. It is very unlikely that litter would be ignited by them. Smoking was forbidden within the building. There was a notice to this effect. Employees tried to enforce that prohibition. Some patrons nevertheless would commence to smoke after the ride started and the imitation fireplace was close to the end of the ride. The most probable cause of the fire was ignition of flammable litter by a cigarette or match carelessly or recklessly discarded by a person riding on the train. As to the fire inquiry, I find that on the 9th of June, 1979, the property known as the Ghost Train at Luna Park, Milson's Point, was destroyed by fire which originated in the vicinity of an imitation fireplace But how the fire was ignited, the evidence adduced does not enable me to say.
It's probably deduced. I don't know if that's the right word, maybe.
I don't understand why this is so many typos.
I don't either. I guess maybe they weren't very good at typing back
Maybe
then.
They don't speak English in Australia.
Yes, they do.
So if I said adduced, I meant deduced.
Maybe that's the
or
word.
Or maybe that is the word. That might be the legal word.
There's just some words in here that don't look right.
Or maybe I'm just stupid.
Yeah. Well, like basically what he's saying is it was a cigarette, but we have no proof of that. And he said that they discounted the fact that people said it was kerosene and that it was arson, which also, or the faulty wiring, they say he's ruling that out without really knowing.
But it could have been kerosene and it could have been a cigarette that lit the kerosene.
It could be.
Although kerosene's a little bit harder to light than gasoline. That's why engines in various trucks burn differently, like diesel engines and stuff. It's not kerosene.
Well, kerosene has a very distinctive smell. If you know it, then you know it. They're not going to mistake it for gasoline or anything else.
You would think so, yeah.
Yeah, it's very distinctive. So for many years, no real cause was given, despite a second inquiry in 1987. They said they didn't find any more evidence once they did that. Rumors of police corruption and mob involvement circulated. The officer in charge the night of the fire was Detective Inspector Doug Knight. He was said to be a fixer for the crime families by manipulating evidence or intimidating witnesses.
Well, he doesn't seem like the kind of guy that should have been on the case then, does he?
He had many charges against him. He was the first to come out with a conclusion that the faulty wiring was the cause.
Oh, it's definitely not arson. Right. I mean, you can take my word for it.
I believe that was published in the papers right after the fire, so that was kind of what people were thinking.
Okay.
According to the ABC documentary Exposed, they claim that the man behind the fire was Abe Saffron, a notorious crime boss. Nicknamed Mr. Sin, his empire was established through illegal liquor and gambling and shady property deals. He wanted the land where the amusement park is located for development purposes.
It's just like the villain in any movie. He right. wants the land at any cost.
So there's a retired police analyst named Steve Bullock, and he says there's no doubt Saffron was behind that fire at Luna Park. He could cover his tracks very, very, very well. And it was later found that Saffron's cousins, Hal and Cole Goldstein, and his nephew ran the company that actually won control of Luna Park after the fire.
Ah.
And Saffron also had over 100 game machines in the arcades at Luna Park.
So he had some kind of interest there already.
Right. He really wanted that land. And so that 1986-87 second investigation, there was a magistrate named James Swanson, and he says, quote, "The senior police and the senior ministers of the Crown did not do anything with it. They left it in the lurch because they were corrupt, and some of them were very corrupt." So I guess they didn't want the truth to come out.
I'm feeling like the truth had something to do with a pack of matches and a few guys with buckets of kerosene.
Well, we're about to see.
That's what I'm thinking.
There were several witnesses that came forward, and they described seeing a group of bikies, which we would call bikers. Bikies,
is this a British-English term?
Bikies don't seem as intimidating as bikers. But
here come some bikies, boys.
I don't think that's the accent.
Yeah.
So they were seen lurking around the ghost train shortly before the fire, and some of them overheard them talking about arson.
Oh, no.
Like I said, you know, people smelled the kerosene. These witnesses say they were dismissed or pressured to change their stories. Les Dowd was a 17-year-old witness. He says the police also told him that the fire was caused by an electrical fault. "It's unbelievable," Dowd says. "They virtually told me what to say."
It's very convenient that they already knew how this happened right as it happened.
Yeah,
you know,
without
an investigation. We know what it was. It was faulty wiring by the fireplace.
Les Dowd and Tina Shakeshaft, who was 14 at the time, were both standing near the magic shop, which is right next to the ghost train, when she saw the group of young men that they called the bikies. She says, quote, "Most of my life, I've always looked behind me, and I've always been scared that someone's going to catch up with me." She's never spoken publicly before.
Before this.
Yeah,
okay.
And because she's scared. She said, "Is someone going to beat the hell out of me because I've actually spoken up and said something?" "I heard one of them say, 'You shouldn't have done that,' or something very similar. And another one said, 'Come on, let's split.' Moments later, the ghost train was on fire."
That sounds very incriminating, but it is eyewitness testimony.
Well, she claims the police drilled her with questions and hounded her to change her story. And then she saw on the news that there was nothing suspicious about the fire. And her response was, I was like, no one's hearing us again. So all these people are coming and having the same story. They all saw these bikers and the police don't want to hear it.
It seems real convenient that the police are there to help them, you know, assist their investigation by telling them exactly what they saw, mm-hmm. exactly how to interpret it. And if they did see something else, they're wrong.
And so there's another witness named Elena Jahasi. And she also saw the people that night. She described them as half a dozen bikies, bearded and long-haired, wearing long coats and knee-high boots, drinking cans of beer.
It's not how I pictured bikies, just from the word. I was picturing guys with, like, you know, beanies on.
She had, no, I said biker. They're like bikers.
I know, but the word bikies just doesn't sound so very aggressive.
It's not. She said, quote, the police had told her that they could not prove that the bikies had lit the fire and that she should forget it.
On scene, right? This happened on scene as the thing's burning to the ground.
No, they took them in for questioning afterwards.
Well, still, they can't possibly have done an investigation.
Yeah, because that coroner's report didn't come out for a couple months. So, I mean, it takes time to do investigations. So, yeah. So there were a lot of people who saw these suspicious men hanging around. And it's theorized that these were hired by Abe Saffron to commit this act of arson.
Now, one thing I did see about this, and I don't know if you addressed this or not, but I did see that this guy who they accused of corruption, either him or whoever was doing it, they basically cleared this crime scene away like almost immediately, right?
They did.
I mean,
did.
Like, not any time to do, they just cleared it out.
Right. They got it out of there real quick. And it also affected the Big Dipper because it was right behind it, I believe.
Yeah.
So that was torn down. There's a Big Dipper in there now, but it's not the same one.
Which really lends credence to the, there's some nefarious things. It's not, if it was just a opportunistic thing that happened that fell in the favor of these people and they're just trying to not make anybody do anything about it, I can understand that, but why would they care if there's an investigation done or questions asked if they had nothing to do with it?
Well, because someone's going to get sued.
Well, probably. Someone will get sued, but if they're saying that it was faulty wiring, I mean, the insurance is going to cover that. I assume they have insurance. If it's the mafia.
It was the 70s. We don't know what was happening.
Well, and it is Australia. Yeah, you know, maybe you take your chances there. Maybe insurance kills you just like spiders and cockroaches.
So Abe Saffron died in 2006. The following year, his niece, Anne Buckingham, made a statement to the Sydney Morning Herald confirming that her uncle was behind the fire, although she didn't believe anyone was meant to die.
So she believes that it was arson.
Yes.
And that he had something to do with it. If no one was meant to die, why did they do it while the park's running?
I don't know.
Didn't they just set the fire like overnight?
It makes no sense.
Because you don't need people on the ride.
Well, it was 10:15 and they were about to close. I think this was like the last rides of the night. Maybe they were supposed to wait and didn't. There's no rule, you know, you just don't know.
I mean, I guess you can't trust bikies.
I guess not. Anne Buckingham later retracted her statement, even though I think they said they recorded it.
Well, perhaps somebody had a discussion with her off camera, letting her know it would be in her best interest to not talk about such things.
Well, her uncle was already dead at that point, so I don't know who she's protecting.
We don't know. I mean, there's still crime families out there, right?
I guess. So it sounds like a pretty good theory that Abe Saffron and the bikies were behind it, but there's one more strange thing that I found.
I'm going to go with the first theory, but I can't wait to hear what this is.
It's just interesting, though. Remember the Godson family, the father and his two sons that died in the fire?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that morning, the Godson family were approached by a satanic-looking figure.
Oh, this took another left turn.
A tall man wearing a horned mask and a leopard print loincloth.
Oh, my.
The figure stood behind six-year-old Damien and placed his hand on his shoulder, and someone took a photo. This is the last photo of Damien. This led to rumors of satanic cult involvement. This theory led nowhere, but the picture is disturbing, to say the least. Like, that would terrify me as a child. And I wasn't scared of a lot of things because I saw scary movies. But
I assume that it's coincidental, but you said that this person didn't work at the park, right?
It's not as far as I know.
As far as you know, it's not like he's a masked character that would be walking around.
Because looking, Luna the koala bear.
Looking at the gate, maybe it is.
I don't think
But what I'm saying is, looking at the gate of this park, I would not be shocked to think that this might be a character that would be in the park. But if not, It looks like he's wearing a loincloth.
That's what it says, a loincloth.
And a buffalo head with, I don't get anything about this. This is very disturbing.
It is.
But it makes you ask questions, is it coincidental or is it tied together? Because I imagine...
most likely coincidental because probably it was the mob.
That makes the most sense. They wanted the land.
Mm-hmm.
They probably didn't care if people got hurt. Maybe it wasn't their desire.
Yeah.
They probably didn't order it that way. They probably had their flunkies who were the bikies. They told them what to do and they probably just didn't do it the way they were told to do it. Because you know how people are.
Right. They had a memorial service for the victims in 1995. So it took that long to get a memorial.
Why?
I don't know. But I think the park was closed off and on for different reasons. It closed immediately after the fire.
Yeah.
And then it reopened not too long after. But it was, you know, up and down. So I don't know. They just finally got around to it in 1995. And then there's this plaque that is on the site of where the ghost train used to be. It's where the new building is. And it has all their names.
All right.
And it says they are remembered. And it's dated 2004. So I don't know if they got a new one or what, but I'm pretty sure the initial memorial ceremony took place in 1995.
Dates are all over the place, aren't they?
It is.
Yeah.
In 2021, a new investigation was opened and a reward of $1 million is being offered for, quote, fresh and significant information, end quote. So they're still looking into it and the reward has not been claimed yet. So it's still out there if you know anything.
Well, it'll be like 40 years.
It'll be 45 years.
45 years and it hasn't been solved yet. I feel like the evidence probably is gone at this point and the people involved are probably dead.
Some of those bikies could come forward and tell if they know anything.
At least clear the record. You know? I imagine the culprits, if there were culprits, have probably since passed away at this point, depending on how old they were.
I mean, if they were teenagers.
Yeah, if they were younger, they might not.
Because it said they were young men, so
they could still be
alive. They would be alive. Yeah, they could be alive.
They could still serve justice, I guess, right?
Right. If you want to learn more about the Ghost Train Fire of 1979, there is a three-part docuseries on Netflix called Exposed, The Ghost Train Fire, and it was from 2021. I think this is what, like, spearheaded the new investigation.
Uh-huh.
Like, that came out right at the same time.
So that's an example of film and media potentially doing a good thing.
Right. So hopefully there will be some justice for these people, because the people that survived, you know, have to live with the fact that their loved ones, you know, were, this could have been prevented.
Entirely preventable. Now, if it was arson, maybe not.
Well, even still, if they'd had a sprinkler system,
a suppression system,
they didn't have
a
lighted up exit
system.
Lights, you know, they didn't have, you know, it was too dark without any, because when we go in these places, you'll see the exit signs and emergency exit signs. They give you emergency instructions and that kind of thing. So
I imagine the safety standards are probably higher now than they were then. And there's required exits at certain intervals.
Yeah, I don't think they come in and suggest that you follow the rules.
It's not a suggestion anymore.
You do this or you don't operate the ride.
Or you go to jail.
Yeah.
Or you're fined.
Yeah, so
or you're fined in jail.
Hopefully some news will come out soon that they will solve this.
Well, I guess we're going to have to keep an eye on that one, aren't we?
I'll be watching for it.
Be watching for it. Okay, so that's going to bring us to the portion of the show where we...
insert graphic here.
See, you weren't even distracted this time.
I got it.
Very proud of you.
I should have written it down so I wouldn't forget.
Didn't need to.
What we're watching.
So this week, we've been watching the 2017 comedy TV show called Ghosted, starring Adam Scott and Craig Robinson. And this is a show that I think only made one season.
It did.
And I can see why. And I say that not in the sense that it's bad. I say that in the sense because I love this show.
Yeah.
It's a great show. It's exactly my sense of humor. So there's no way it would have lasted. It just doesn't ever happen. The only show that's ever done that is Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Yeah. It lasted a while.
This is Ghosted, not Ghosts, like we talked about before.
Totally different TV show.
Yeah.
The premise of the show is that there's these two men. One of them is basically an astrophysicist guy who's into conspiracy theories and stuff, who was fired by from his job at Stanford.
Because he thinks his wife was abducted by aliens.
Yes. And then the other guy is a former LAPD detective, I think, who had issues and got released from the force. He mentioned mm-hmm. something about like his partner dying because of something he did. Mm-hmm. So for whatever reason, he's no longer on the force and he's working as a security guard at a mall. And the other guy, not sure what he was doing.
He was working in a bookstore.
He was working like in the bookstore at the mall. Okay. So they come together. They find out there's an underground government organization that recruits them to come and help find and fight ghosts and cryptids and all this other manner of other wild things. The storyline's completely ridiculous, mm-hmm. which is why I love it. Yeah. It's got a very light feel to it, even though it's not deep at all. I mean, I would let kids watch this show for the most part.
Yeah.
So tell us how you feel about it and give us your dog treat rating on a scale of 1 to 12.
Okay, well, Adam Scott is from Parks and Rec and a lot of other comedy type movies like that. And Craig Robinson is from The Office and all kinds of other shows. I'm sure you would recognize them if you saw them. And I think they have great chemistry together. They both play off each other really well. And so I'm going to give it a 10 out of 12. Wow. I really enjoyed it. The only thing is that it's only one season and I'm going to be sad when it's over. But
you're just feeling like there's going to be some kind of cliffhanger floating there.
I don't know if they knew it was going to get canceled or not. So I'm hoping they did and they ended it well. But it's, we were watching an episode last night and there's like something happening and I really want to know. And you fell asleep. So I had to stop it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, somebody's going to die. And I don't know who it is. Or are they going to die? And it's like,
I have a guess who I think it is.
Oh, you do?
I do. I'll tell you when we're done recording.
Okay.
We'll see.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it. I'm just sad that there's only 16 episodes or so.
And we'll have to figure out something else to watch after that.
I know.
What is that one that our friend told us about? The Marvelous Miss Maisel or something?
Yeah, The Marvelous Miss Maisel.
Which doesn't sound like something I would want to watch. But then again, I've judged stuff preemptively before mm-hmm. and I found out I was wrong. So that might be one of the next things we should at least check out the first episode of.
Yeah, and I also saw a show on Netflix. It's some comedy. I don't know if it's a movie, comedy horror. It's something, werewolves something.
You got me at werewolves.
I was going to look into that. That might be good.
We haven't been on Shudder in a while either.
I know.
So no telling what might be on Shudder.
But yeah, I'm really enjoying it. What's your dog treat rating?
See, I was calling them dog tarts last week and the other week, and now you're calling them dog trots.
Dog treat, sorry.
Dog torts. Is that a new British
tort
thing?
Oh, yeah. It's fancy.
I'm going to give it an 11 out of 12.
Oh, you really like it.
It doesn't have perfection, but it's pretty close. I love Craig Robinson. I think he is hilarious. And the chemistry, like she said, is amazing between him.
Their timing is so good. You know, they just know how to make a face and it speaks, you know.
And he reminds me of one of my good friends from high school. Mm-hmm. He talks just like him. He sort of has mannerisms like him. Mm-hmm. And I just love to watch it. So we both suggest you go watch this show, even though it is only one season. It's worth it because it's just lighthearted, mm-hmm. paranormal monster eating people.
Yeah, fun. Like a monster of the week type thing. But
sort of like Supernatural, but less intense.
Yeah, it's much lighter.
Yeah. So that's going to bring us to the portion of the show that we like to call, how I got right.
You got it that time.
Layla and Coffee Talk. So what has happened in the world of dog?
Well, the new green screen is pretty good, but I think Layla rearranged it last time we recorded. She's not in here tonight, so.
She's outside barking. You may have heard her mm-hmm. during the previous segment.
Yeah, I think Coffee's pretty pleased with it.
She's down there.
Yeah. So this week we also had some yard work done. Our backyard gets overgrown real easily. We have a lot of palm trees and random vines of things that I can't pronounce. I don't know what they are, but they
monocots.
Like, they over monocots and dicots.
Yeah,
they overtake my yard, and then the dogs had dug some holes, and there was just weeds and all this stuff, and they were running out of room to run. So we had some guys, some friends of ours, come over.
They had not enough pooping rooms, what she's saying.
Basically, so had some guys come over and clear it all out, and they are quite thrilled. They can run to their little heart's content. And they started digging new holes for the holes they filled in. So they're very pleased with their work.
And I'm very proud of them.
Yeah.
Right? Proud of these dogs for being so good about it.
Immediately started digging new holes.
The next day, it's already the dirt's dug up.
Yeah.
And then Crystal went and put a swing together today. This thing was like, you know, most stuff you get, you think, you know, you get it from Amazon, you might throw it together. There's going to be a few screws you have to put together. She had to like stitch this thing from the composite fabric and make it herself.
Okay, so Usually I read directions. I'm not read directions. Sorry about that.
You don't read directions. I read reviews. You don't even know how to read directions. You just throw them away immediately.
Now, let me tell you. I read reviews to see if something is a pain to put together. And I read reviews and they're like, oh, it's easy to put together. It's easy to put together. Okay, fine. So I took out the instructions this time. I was going to read them because I didn't want to mess it up because it's huge and you have to sit in it. So I didn't want it to fall. So I'm looking at the directions and it's got all these numbers and letters, but none of the actual pieces are labeled and they don't even look like the pictures. They're like, A should look like this. And I'm like, well, this sort of looks like that pipe, but I'm not sure.
And then,
it has all the hardware and it's in a package and they're all compartmentalized. So you'd think, okay, these should be like N, O, P, Q. No, there's no indication of what they should be. And so I'm just guessing. I'm like, well, I think this is long enough
to fit
through
this. Don't you love
the
way they put like the letters on each thing on the instruction manual, but nothing's marked in actuality?
It had very detailed like on the instructions, but none of the pieces matched, and especially the hardware was not anything like what it said. Yeah. And they give you two different Allen wrenches and two different wrenches, and you have to find just the right one on the wrench to hold the nut. And it's like, it took me 2 hours.
My goodness. No wonder you're so hungry.
And so I got to the point where I was done constructing the steel frames, and all I had to do, I thought, was going to put the cushion on. And then I looked at it, and it's got this rope. And you have to stitch the rope around the entire length of the seat to hold the cushion on. That took me probably 45 minutes to an hour just to do it.
Did it come with knitting needles?
That would have been easier.
That would have been great.
Yeah, so I was exhausted by that point. I'm ready to go lay in there and eat my food.
Yes.
Which I still have to cook, unfortunately.
Unfortunately. Well, if you'd like to find us online, you can do so at scarysavannahandbeyond.com. You can find us on all social media platforms if you look for the user at Scary Savannah. If you aren't already watching us on YouTube, you can check it out to get some images from the story. We do an episode for every single episode we do. Just go to YouTube, look up Scary Savannah, or you can link up our website. If you don't like ads and you would like to get extra bonus content and also support the podcast, you can visit us on Patreon. You go to patreon.com/scarysavannah. Links to that are also on our website. You can find some interesting merchandise at our store if you go to our website and click on the link for the store and go find yourself some really cool shirts, hats, stickers, various and sundry other items.
I need some more shirts.
I do too, because I think I bleached some of the ones that I had. I don't clean things. I don't know how bleach got on my shirt.
I have no idea how that happened because you've never been near bleach that I'm aware of.
It makes no sense.
Maybe I did it by accident.
And if you want to support us and buy us a coffee, you can go do so. We appreciate the other week with Savannah, our fan, doing that, buying us a coffee. And if you want to do so and help, then you can go to our website and click on the little yellow coffee cup icon in the bottom left-hand corner, and you can leave any number of coffees that you so desire.
We're going to have to switch to iced coffee now. It's getting hot,
finally. It's getting a little warm in here with all these lights.
Well, not just that. It's hot outside. It was 78 degrees when I drove by the Tabiola Maritime Academy.
Man, I'm telling you, I went through the trouble of bathing 3 days ago, and I just don't feel like that I can handle it in these lights.
You took a shower before we recorded.
Maybe. So it's time for you to tell me some words so we can get out from behind this really bright. It almost feels like we're being abducted by aliens if you look right
at it,
doesn't
it? It's pretty, though. It's mesmerizing.
It is kind
of mesmerizing. I can't stop just staring at it. I'll probably be blind when this is over.
It's definitely giving me a headache.
I'm the one with the headaches these days.
Now I've got a new one.
Okay. Join us next time in Savannah, where the ghosts and the good times live on.
But do you know who don't?
Who?
My retinas, because this is the first time I've looked directly into that thing, and I swear I don't think I can see anymore.
I've just been staring at it the whole time. Well, it's really bad.
I'm going to go turn it off before it burns the house down, because it's kind of hot.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.